Hello.
Oh, there you are. Okay, we figured it out. Oh my God. That was something else.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. That wasn't my fault.
Welcome to the Mother Effer Podcast. I'm Beth.
And I'm Jessie.
We are two moms who are ready to stop being polite.
And start getting real about this thing called motherhood. Because motherhood is no joke, y'all.
So put on your big girl panties.
Grab a drink.
And let's do this thing.
Yep, I see it. Urban, well done.
Yes, girl. You know, straight
well
up.
Done.
You know how I like it.
You know what I've been watching while I wait for us to record tonight is that like parody thriller with Kristen Bell on Netflix.
Oh my God.
Have you seen
so
it?
I haven't started watching it because I don't want to like stop it a million times. You know what I mean? Like I want to enjoy it. So I haven't started it yet because I just know
right.
I'm not going to be able to. Is it great?
Oh my gosh. So, it's
first
like
of
watching-
all, have you read the book or seen the movie of The Woman in the Window?
Yeah. I've seen The Girl on the Train, The Woman in the Window, all of them.
Oh,
the Neighbor Next Door.
Yeah.
The Lady in
love
the House.
Girl on the Train.
Yeah.
Girl on the Train is actually, Jack?
Jack?
Girl on the Train is actually the book that got me through my breakdown in the mental hospital.
Oh.
Yeah.
It
was so good to get like lost in. Like when
it was a great book.
Like the common area was like packed full of like legitimately fucked up people. And I just didn't want to be around all that.
I can't imagine. Oh my God.
I'm just gonna lay in my room by myself and read. And it was actually quite peaceful.
Read about another woman who's a little nutty on a train that drinks gin and tonic from a can, which I've never seen before in my life. So I need to experience that. I need to find where
gin
they
sell tonic in a. You've never experienced gin and tonic in a can, or you've
like oh, here's a whole drink, like a beer, but it's a gin and tonic. I've never.
Ew.
Isn't that what she? That's what she drinks on the train.
Is it good?
I've never had it. That's what
but
I'm
like,
saying.
How I'm like theorizing. I'm like theorizing though, because like, I don't know.
It's just like a soda water, tonic soda water with some gin in it and some lemon. Listen, I'll fly all the way to England if anybody wants to take me or pay for it. Fly me to England, put me on a train with a gin and tonic in a can so I can report back on how the experience goes. But back to Kristen Bell, she's adorable. And it is like watching a mother's version of the Naked Gun. You remember Naked Gun, where an airplane.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That kind of comedy where you just see things. Like she visits
airplane
her daughter.
Like one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah. So it's like she goes to a cemetery and the gravestones say something different every time. And
okay.
Like it's just the stupidest little details that are so funny. And
I love her though. I love Kristen Bell.
Yeah, but it's a legit thriller at times where you're like, ooh, that's a twist. And then you remember that this is really supposed to be funny. But I highly recommend it. I think I'm on the last episode, and then I was like, I gotta go record. I can't finish watching it. So you're welcome.
This is us is like halfway through too. So
yeah.
Like,
okay. So you're welcome, audience. We stopped our favorite TV shows to bring you the latest and breaking motherly news.
Oh, wait, are we recording like for the audience now?
Yes.
We're recording just for us. I just don't know. This is just my life. This is a topic for tonight, actually. This is just my life.
Jessie.
Because we didn't do like an intro, like, hi, everybody, like we normally do.
Well, better late than never.
Oh.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
We're going to bring you the
Closing
latest
on
and
my
greatest.
Podcasting voice. Hello. I would have been much more quippier if I had known that we were like recording for people versus like.
Yeah, but see, now people are going to think when we record and put it out there, it's not real because you put on a different voice for podcasting.
It's a different voice and it's like quippier and faster. I'm like, you know, when it's just us, I can like, you know, I don't have to respond to everything you say with such, you know, enthusiasm, but when we're recording, I do.
Are you trying to tell me I'm not as entertaining as I think I am? Because
absolutely are. But you know, it's like when you've been married to somebody for so long and you're just like,
Jesse, it's been a year, for Christ's sake.
Dude, our year anniversary is coming up on the 23rd.
I know, that was such insane. I got such a kick out of that Facebook post, and it was like,
yeah.
I think it was I think I talked to you the day before on the phone, and then I went to sleep that night and was up all night to the next morning, just like, I can't believe this is really going to happen.
It's happening.
It's happening. I know, it's exciting.
I know. Oh my God. It's funny when something like just, I don't know, you just have a thought and you're like, man, there's no podcast out there like this. We should start one. And then you just do it. There's not many times in my life that I've done that. Like,
not, you know, many Ranko times. And I, yeah.
No, me too. Like through our relationship, we've always just been like, hey, you want to get married? Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. Hey, you want to have a baby? Sure. Yeah. That sounds good. Like, it's always felt really natural. It's never been forced. And that's how this came too. I feel like it just happened. Like,
this is one of those ideas that I have that it's really just for myself that I stuck with.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
But it's not just for you though, because we're in the top 5% of podcasts, which is insane.
Jesse sent me this link today and I'm like, this can't be real. So I'm like ready to Snopes it up. It was real.
Snope it up. It's for real.
It is real. We are in the top 5% of podcasts, which I don't know. That's pretty great, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's really incredible because, you know, we get a certain number of downloads every episode and we're always really excited about it. But, and then we joke on the podcast, you know, all of our 8 listeners, you know, but like, yeah, I mean, you know, every time I'm in a mom's group, because, you know, you can't promote yourself in mom's groups, but somehow, like, I always end up talking about the podcast as a way to promote the podcast.
Yes.
So not getting in trouble.
I was excited the last time that happened, and somebody actually was like, okay, girls, let me hear all the podcast recommendations. And I'm like, oh my God, girl. And, you know, I recommended us, of course. And then a bunch of other stuff so that it didn't look like a total self-promotion. And one of my friends recommended us too. And I was like, see, it's not just me that thinks it's funny.
My friends have done that too. Or like random people have asked. And then it, you know, it shows up in your notifications like, so-and-so is tagged Mother Effer. And then you go and you're like, oh my God.
I know. Like when Justin talked like about me. Listening to us in the car, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
I know.
Take me along.
What's really funny is that I told Beth this already, but like, it's so funny, guys, that, you know, our demographic is clearly moms, right? Mm-hmm. We talk, you know, obviously look at the title and what we talk about, but Ranko's job, he's in IT and his whole division is, I think, all men except for one woman, and all the men love our podcast. They talk about it on the reg. So shout out to you guys, because I know y'all are listening. And I know y'all are going to look, I know y'all are listening. So we're pumped that y'all are here, but they're like men, you know, yeah. I mean, so it's like, and they're dads. So it's just, it's cool that like dads also find us witty and entertaining and fabulous. So thank you guys.
We're not like other moms. We're cool moms.
I know. If you're going to drink, I'd rather you do it in the house. Amy Poehler, I love her. So we're doing well, but you know, it's just because I think we just do it because we love it and we enjoy it, and it's not, we don't do this for money. We're not like actively seeking out, you know, like sponsors or anything. No, we just, I don't know, we're just kicking it and having fun. I love it. So the topic, we actually do have a topic, but before we get into that, so we've been recording over Zoom like the past 3 episodes because I've been sick, and then we had a guest on, and now we're recording again because COVID has hit Beth's house.
It's finally hit.
How are they doing?
Fine. Yeah. I was telling Rob, I said, you know, if COVID wasn't around, they'd be in school. I mean, come at me, but they don't have anything, but it seems like a cold. So
okay, that's, yeah, but it's because they've been vaccinated, right?
I don't know. I hope so. I hope that's why they're. It's just like a small cold, and you know they're powering through. Like they didn't think they had it either. But then
because it,
came,
it was,
you know,
so
we took the
mild
pregnancy test.
I know. I think that every time I see one of these things, I'm like, oh my god. And wait for the second pink line.
I was like,
shit.
Right.
Shit.
And it was like the first time it was negative, and I was like, yes.
Yeah, I know.
So I am negative, but yeah, the two boys in school have it, and they're all, it's Rob's week with them. So they're all just e-learning at Rob's house this week, and I have the house to myself. Don't be jealous. I know, but don't be.
Oh my God. Quit talking about your fabulous divorce and the fact that you get to pawn your children off and you get quiet and peace.
I don't know what to say. So,
but are they like quarantining?
It's Rob's. Yeah. Like we're like, not going to, it's just going to be our little pod.
Gotcha.
We've all always been around each other since Logan got the like symptoms. So it's, we're going to contain it in our little.
That's what we did too. Community. I mean, by the time I was positive, it was too late. I was like, we're not going to quarantine, wear masks. Like let's just all get it at the same time and be done with it.
What's interesting is Mary Jane, we didn't test her, but she's not showing symptoms, so we didn't have to. And since she's vaccinated, she could have gone back to school today because she's just close contact. And her dad and I were like, no. I mean, like our kids are together. They're in the same house. They're not going anywhere. But they see each other, and it's like, I'm not going to send her to school knowing full well she probably sat next to Logan on the couch for 5 minutes last night. So we decided to keep them all out till Monday at the earliest is when the school system said they could come back.
Let's consider it though. I need both of them. So
I was just worried that I wouldn't get the time off, like because they said she could come back. If they would be like, well, if you don't send her back, those are unexcused absences. That's when I was going to be like, I was going to lose it and become a real Karen. But they didn't. They left. They said it was fine.
It's just so hard. And it's, you know, that's what our topic is tonight, because The Atlantic had this really incredible article. And the title was, do you have it up?
I do. I have it right here. I wrote it down. It's an article written in The Atlantic.
By whom?
By somebody whose name I forgot to write down.
I'll go get it. Hold on.
But it's called COVID Parenting Has Passed the Point of Absurdity. And it was written by a woman who has written a book about how to raise kids that aren't assholes. That's the one thing I remember when I read her bio at the very end. When she has a book, the author of this article has a book that's called How to Raise Kids That Aren't Assholes.
Oh, I love her more now. I know. Okay, that's incredible. So it's Melinda Wenner Moyer from The Atlantic. And COVID parenting has passed the point of absurdity. So I told Beth, I was like, read this because we need to talk about it tonight because that's where we are. It's like, we got COVID in December. Mm-hmm. Before December, we had finally gotten Ava to sleep through the night. Okay. So at this point, she's like 18 months old. And at 18 months old, Ava had not slept through the night one night in her life. Mm-hmm. So imagine 18 months of not sleeping. That will like fuck anybody up.
Yeah.
So we finally got her to sleep through the night. And I felt like we were in a good rhythm. Like the kids were going to school on the reg.
Oh, that's when the shit hits the fan, girl.
Oh my God.
You can't have it be nice.
You know, I was like in a nice rhythm with my clients, like, you know, I was in a good spot with them, and then we all got sick. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, in the beginning of December, I feel like it's been just so, there's been no consistency and it's just been chaos. And it's not always chaos on a grand scale. Sometimes it's small, but it's still never like we haven't regained any kind of normalcy or consistency. Mm-mm. And like, I didn't realize how badly it was affecting me until I had my coaching session with Keisha this week, of course, right?
I
snaps to
today
Keisha.
Too.
Snaps
I had
to
a mental
Keisha.
Breakdown as well.
I did. I was crying.
A little menti B.
poor Keisha. We need to pay her more.
She's trying to give us financial advice. We're like, but let me talk about boys for a little bit.
Oh my God. So I have to say, so like, I was really not dealing with how I was feeling at all. And I didn't really, I wasn't feeling it. And then I found out this past week that a woman that I knew, we were not good friends by any means, but we ran the same social circles. She was 30 years old and she committed suicide.
She's from this area.
She was an attorney in Charlotte and she was a Miss USA.
Beautiful girl.
Yeah, she was incredible. She was Miss Charlotte USA. She was Miss USA. She was 30 years old. Beautiful, beautiful. You know, just appearing to be very, like she had her shit together and that she was going places, right? Quote unquote. And then she jumped off a 29-story building in New York. And it was really super triggering for me because when I had my breakdown, like that's how I was presenting too, right? Was like, I have everything together. Look how beautiful I am. Look how perfect my kids are. Look at my high powered corporate job. Like I'm so impressive. Aren't you impressed by me? Aren't I wonderful? Like just, you know, you present yourself to the world in this certain way. And then sometimes you don't even realize how you're feeling until it hits you. And sometimes it hits you so hard that you do something like that. Mm-hmm. I was so close to actually following through with my suicidal ideations. And if it wasn't for my pastor who was on the phone with me, I think I might have gone through with it. But he's the one who literally talked me off the edge. But I thought that I had dealt with it. I've been going to therapy for a lot of years. And, you know, I take medication to deal with anxiety and depression. And I thought that I was dealing with it. But seeing her and reading her story, and we still don't know all the details, right? I mean, we just don't. But like, it was very, very triggering for me. And I was on the phone with Keisha. And so we were having a coaching call and it just turned into this sob fest of me just like, I didn't even intentionally start, like I didn't start the coaching call knowing that I needed to talk about this stuff, but it just bubbled up and it just came out and I was crying and I was just like, I just think I'm feeling so, it's not even overwhelmed. You know, when I say I feel overwhelmed, I automatically think about work, but I don't feel overwhelmed at work. I actually feel really excited about what I'm doing at work with my clients and like, it's fun and I'm enjoying it. And I really think when I read this article that that's what it is. It's like the culmination of how many years now have we been in this pandemic and dealing with this constant chaos, right? And the constant inconsistency, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's no wonder so many people have resorted to just pulling their kids and doing virtual school, period. Not just because of pandemic times, but even if the pandemic ends, they know this is consistency and that's what my family needs. You can't be relying on a school district to watch your kids so that you can work and provide for your family. That whole structure got burned to the ground, to the fucking ground.
And but that here's was the thing with like in the beginning of the pandemic, like if you're a working parent and then the pandemic hit, for the first year and a half, employers were super understanding. And now it's what? How many years later?
Now they're back to like watching your computer and this is what I hear. I don't have this problem, but like I have a friend who works from home and it's, you know, she's like, every time I leave my desk for whatever reason, I have to say something to somebody. And it's like, what, like whose job is it to monitor all you guys? That's a full-time job, isn't it? I mean, did the company lose a lot with you all working from home or? Like, I don't understand why people just can't be trusted. I know there's people that are not doing their jobs. I mean, that's with everything out there. But
no, and it's so frustrating. I'm trying to find, like, in this article, it was just, it was so beautifully written.
One of the things that I wrote down was the poll, because she's not writing specifically about moms. She's writing about parents. But what I found... what I found in the article is 70% of moms and 54% of dads feel this overwhelming parenting guilt problem, okay, whatever you want to call who feels it the most?
So let me just say that there was we always talk about mom groups and like our mom group post of the week that we loved. Mine just happened. And this woman is so hilarious.
Relate to what we're talking about, or are we squirrel momenting
it? No, it's 100% what we're talking about. She said, I don't know if reincarnation exists, but if it does, I want to come back as a dad. There, that's it. That's my entire post. And I was like, oh my God, I feel this so deeply, mm-hmm, because you're exactly right with that stat. It's like, we're the domestic defaults, mm-hmm, and we are the parental default. And as much as like Franco's a great partner, he, mm-hmm, is wonderful and he contributes and he's an involved, active dad and a wonderful husband, but still the dishes are piling up in the sink. Mm-hmm.
I think that percentage, the 70% of moms and 54% of dads, is also a representation of the percentage of parents who are default. So obviously moms are the default parents, right, 70% of the time, and dad maybe whatever math.
This is so great. It said social worker Carla Namberg put it, parents are being forced to choose between bad and worse. We have no idea which option is bad and which option is worse, mm-hmm, you know? And I feel like that's exactly what we've been going through, is just like,
yeah, there's no consistency in the messages we receive. There's no plan, long-term plan. It's all like stapled together, super glued and hot glued together, this whole ball of garbage. And one of the issues in the article was that childcare right now is non-existent because people need to work and everything's getting more expensive. So more people are having to find jobs, more childcare is needed. And I can tell you every other day, every other minute, it seems like on these moms groups, it's who has a job I can do from home that's not selling your purses,
or
who has a child who wants to watch my kid for me. I'll give you whatever you want. Nobody can find childcare. Nobody can find preschool. All the summer camps are filled up already. Like, people are screwed.
Our friend Caroline, she's got one toddler and it's like super basic. Like, I just need you for full-time hours every week. And it's not complicated, right? It's not like, mm-hmm, he has piano and he has soccer and you need to pick up and drop off and blah, blah, blah. It's like, here, come sit with my toddler for a few hours every day so I can work. How many women and how many months has she gone through trying to find someone to watch her kid? And it's so frustrating. And it's, mm-hmm, and they're paying well, you know? And so it's like, you know, and she got a new job where she's having to work outside of the home, you know, a little bit every week. And she's really, you know, she's so frustrated, and thankfully she did find a nanny, but it was like at the last second.
Right.
You know, it's been months and months and months of her trying, mm-hmm, because she was, you know, working from home full time and full time care, you know, sole care for her son. Mm-hmm. It's a toddler. You know, and that, I mean, could any man, could any dad work from home while simultaneously caring for their child, and not just having a child at home? I mean, caring for them when you have a toddler, it's constant. They need engagement. They need you to play with them. They need you to watch them to make sure they don't fall down the stairs and break their neck, you know, or go into the trash can and eat last night's leftovers or play in the cat food. I mean, it's a constant, it's constant attention, you know. Could a dad do that?
Yes, there are dads out there that will do that.
I want to hear from one, please.
My kids have one of them, but
your kids aren't little. Like, it's got to be easy when they're older, right?
No, you still have to feed them. You still have to monitor what they're doing. You still have to make sure they're not just, you know, lying around doing nothing. And it's not quite as physical, but you still have to be present in their life and see what's going on. But even when they were little, he would do that. Like, he didn't work from home, but every December he would take the whole month off and he would get a new flannel and call it his Mr. Mom flannel. And he did my job for the whole month.
Yeah.
And but I see, loved it.
Okay. So that I get, like, taking off and being with your kids is one thing, but trying to work and be productive and be, it's not just working and being productive. It's being accountable and being held accountable by those you work with.
We just are expected to do different, have different roles. But I feel why are
women expected to do that? Like, why am I expected to have a toddler all day home by myself and run a business and be held accountable by my clients and produce quality content for them and produce quality work for them and also have Ava here and also be responsible for the dishes that have been in the sink for 2 days and do pickup and drop off every single day for the kids and do the laundry and make sure everybody shit is together? Okay. Why does that fall on me?
But I'm going to get a little anthropological on you.
Do it. Use your degree.
I don't think it's been long enough since women have entered the workforce and become CEOs and presidents for the shift in roles to have, like, become equal. We still have majority over, you know, what kids need and what they have to do. It's just been our role for so long. Dads definitely are doing things differently now, for sure. More involvement. It's just going to take a little bit longer. I mean, until everybody's seen as the same person, just different parts.
Right.
I think it's going to be different, harder to change those roles to where, you know, women didn't have to do everything before. We just had to take care of our kids. That was our job. That was it. No one expected us to have to do both. Men never had to do the kid part ever.
You're absolutely right.
So, you know, we've never had that luxury. So we have always been trying to do two things at one time as we, you know, break the glass ceiling and try to prove we can be just as good as men and have a family and be a woman and this and that and be sexy and this and that. And we do it. Because like in that article, we don't have another option.
And I love that.
I read that, and that's my been like my motto since I don't know when, especially since getting divorced. It's like, what are my options? I got nothing else. It's this or live in your car. It's this or, you know, you have, what are you going to do? You're going to just get up and you're going to deal with it. You're going to deal with all the bullshit that gets thrown your way. Your kids being assholes. All of it, because you signed up for it. But it is very disheartening to just feel so overwhelmed and not have anything else to do about it but go to a football field in the middle of the night and scream your head off.
And I thought I was going to say, that's how this article opens, as it talks about these moms who did just that. They went to a football field and they just started screaming. And I found myself feeling jealous. Like, where can I do that around here?
We need to organize that.
Big enough. Right. Like, well, yeah. Like, my backyard's big enough. It backs up to the greenway, which is hundreds and hundreds of acres of woods. Yeah, so I think we should organize.
Let's just add to the weird vibe of your whole homestead and have a bunch of angry moms scream into the moon. Next full moon party's at your house.
We're going to scream so loud. We'll wake up all the ghosts that are in this neighborhood, all the ghosts that are here.
I can't wait.
It's true. God, you just feel like you've reached this point where it's like, well, how long are they supposed to quarantine? What if they get COVID? What if they get sick? What if they need to go to the hospital? How long do I keep them home for? Can they go back to school? How much work do they need to make up if they miss? You know, how much work can I take off? Will they still be understanding 2 years later that I need to take off because my kid is quarantined? Like, it's just this, like, it is, it's just, there's just,
it's an endless choice between bullshit and more bullshit.
Yeah.
Endless. Either way, you're going to come out stinking. And my friend Nick and I were talking about this the other night. He's like, somebody just needs to come up in here and just stop all the nonsense, you know, stop people from arguing every little tiny little thing. And I'm like, I mean, I get it. I get it. Because I feel like it doesn't help. if we continue to just argue over the smallest things and let right. that eat away from the sense of community that we could be building instead. But it's well, just...
That's what this article said. It was so beautiful. I'm looking for it and I wish I could find it, but she talks about how, you know, no matter where you fall into this vaccines or no vaccines, it doesn't matter because we're all going through it together.
Right. The choice that people have made to do either one has not been taken lightly, or it has. Well, I mean, for me, it was a no brainer. I'm like, I'm going to do the vaccine because that's what I feel like doing, but I can't be, and I won't be the person that is going to, you know, stand outside someone's house and like put up a sign that says anti-vaxxer, you know, I'm just not going to do that.
Right.
Because.
Right. No, me either. No. Look, here's what she said. I found it. It's just so beautifully written. She said, some parents have weathered things worse than others. We have different access to support, different senses of what's best for our kids, different convictions about masks and distancing and vaccines, but the burden has fallen on us all. Even if we're somehow physically muddling our way through the pandemonium, our mental health is taking a serious hit. And I was like, yes, that's exactly what it is. Cause it's, right. we're all going through the same shit with our kids.
Yeah.
You know,
and our kids are all going through it too. But it's hard to remember that. It's hard to remember that they aren't getting a normal childhood while we are having to deal with the pandemic on the side. Like they are dealing
absolutely.
With it at first as well. And yeah, you know, my ninth grader's always coming home until he got COVID. Now he's not at school too, but he's like, nobody's at school, not even the teachers. There's nobody at school. It's so weird.
Yep.
And I'm like,
the latest wave of Omicron.
It's not even open.
It's insane.
But that's just my, I'm asking why it's open. If nobody's going to be there, why not just close it and maybe save some bill money? I don't know. I don't know how fucking economics works.
Some bill money. But, yeah. Some of those state funds.
And the thing is now I bet you $20 after this virtual learning week my kids are going to have, they're all going to be like, can we switch to virtual school? Because they're just going to be so happy about it. And I'm like, no, because, you know, unfortunately for Logan, I don't think his grades are good enough because you have to be like GT now to get into virtual school for some reason. And
what?
I don't know. I felt like kids that got like a C or below in their classes in virtual school weren't invited to do it again because they felt they needed them in person more because their grades suffered so much. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever. I mean, I get that, but I also just... kind of like the freedom of virtual school that I had before. A little bit more.
Well, yeah, when we were homeschooling, I mean, I don't know how much they learned. Probably not much.
They probably
we
did learned our best. Tons.
We learned enough. We did fine. But, you know, it was 2020 was actually a really nice year for us, which sounds crazy. But like, we slowed down. I wasn't at a million events every month. You know, and
get used to that too.
Yeah. You know, I was with my kids and we were learning together and we were enjoying the day together. And yeah, there were some fucked up days and some shit that we had to deal with. But like, I mean, you know, we had the baby and we were just living together every day. Where now it feels like we're just so disconjointed. And, you know, I don't know. I kind of miss that 2020 where, and don't get me wrong. I mean, hey, you know, that government money was really nice too.
I miss the time.
You know,
I miss 2018. That helped us. I'm not going to lie. Like, let's go back a little farther when we used to be able to do shit as well.
Yeah.
That's what I miss.
It was nice. It was nice to, I mean, I lost all my clients. So essentially I lost my whole business in 2020, but I was able to get, you know, unemployment and the government assistance from, you know, we all got the stimulus checks. And so, you know, we were able to make it work and it was just, you know what it was? It was just chill. It was just every day was just really chill.
Yeah. Everybody had that. Empathy. Everybody had togetherness. Everybody felt like this is, you know, work and this and that, not as important as family. And now it's been 2 years and everyone's like, let's get back to the way things were because I'm not able to buy my helicopter. I need to get my helicopter this year, people.
Because that's what felt normal for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a guy that is the only person that goes to work because he hates working at home. Like, but he'll go, he like the all there is an office just for him because he loves to go to work. And I get that.
Yeah.
Like, I get that idea. It is not easy working from home. I will say it's nice, but it is not easy. And, and it's lonely too, you know, it's just you, but, I definitely prefer it over not working. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely miss, you know, having a team and I love that part of it, the social part of it and getting out of the house. But, you know, the, you know, working outside of the house just wasn't ever congruent with being a parent. Just never, there was never any, you know, like they should have a symbiotic relationship, but it's give and take. Right. And there wasn't at all. And there was none of that, you know, but like, and I think I'm feeling so overwhelmed lately because my job was my business has become way more full-time than I ever expected it to be. And I'm hiring help now. I have a nanny because it's so full-time that I need to focus. And a part of me is like, well, didn't I start this so I could be a full-time parent and then make a little money on the side? But now it's sort of flipped, you know? And so I think that's a big part of why I was feeling really overwhelmed and like just really scared is because the last time that I was so focused on my work and my job and my career growth and my path, I had a breakdown. But Keisha said, gosh, she said so many great things. We were both writing down things as she was saying them. Like, we got to remember this. This is amazing, you know, but you know, just that that was an experience that I had, but it's not my forever.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be like it's a part of my story, but it's not the whole story.
Right. Like that was a circumstance, but it wasn't your forever space.
Right.
You wanted to be in. And she isn't wrong. And the truth is you were focused on your career before, but I feel like you're in control of yourself and where you're going now more than you were back then too.
So right. Absolutely.
You're able to be like, you know what? I've taken on one too many clients. I'm going to stop. I'm going to do this. I'm going to change this. I'm going to change that. Like you have the ability to do that on the fly, which is
good. Absolutely. But you know, I think when I was reading this article, I was just like, I was having a really hard time like expressing why even tonight, like I was talking to Renko and he was like, what's going on? Why do you feel so strange? Why do you like tell me about it? And I was like, I'm too exhausted to tell you about it. I have no energy to explain to you exactly how I'm feeling because I don't even fully understand how I'm feeling or why I'm feeling like this. But when I read that article and I was reading about those women screaming in the middle of a football field, I was like, oh my God, that sounds, oh my God, that sounds amazing. And I just thought, God, you know, it's true. It's just, it has reached this level of absurdity where people, you know, have stopped caring about each other. There's a lack of empathy. We know your employers don't give a shit anymore, you know, and the kids are done. They've hit a wall. They're exhausted. They're done. Mommy, when is COVID going to be over? I don't want to wear a mask today. You know, it's just like, we're all at this point where there's no more good feelings left.
No,
you know,
no, there's a lot of people during 2020 up to now have had to do a lot of internal work. They've had a lot of time with themselves.
Yeah, but then nothing's changed.
Yeah, some people have changed. Some people have gone a little nuts waiting to be able to go back to work and get back to where they didn't have to be introspective. Some people, it has changed for the better. You know, there's the mass exodus from corporate America because of it, because people are realizing the world still turns without my widget. And it was kind of nice going to my son's baseball games and not having 18 people call me.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, my sister had like a slight heart arrhythmia this weekend, actually. And she's fine. She's home now. But while she was in the ER, her work was calling her because they didn't know how to do stuff without her there. She's literally possibly having a heart attack getting phone calls from her job. I told my sister, Jill, I was like, Jill, what's the number at the place she works? I need to call them and tell all of them to eat a dick.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, did she feel like she needed to answer the phone? Like, did she feel like she was like, yeah.
Yeah, she did. She did. She did feel like she needed to answer the phone. Like, she's the boss. Right. She has no choice.
Yes. Renko says that a lot, all the time. You know, I'm the manager. I can't take off. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, it's like so frustrating. I'm like, so you can't live your life because you're the manager?
I had to talk to Rob about that constantly. Because he was always like, every time we go on vacation, something big happens at work. It never seems to happen when things are just chill. And I'm like, listen, I don't know if that's true or if that's just how it always works out.
Yeah. But
I feel like every other day you're coming home telling me so-and-so's on vacation. It's time for you to go too.
Yeah, exactly. Turn your shit off.
Yeah. And now he's been working from home and he loves, like, he misses the like people, but he's like, I'm never going back to an office. Forget it. Forget it.
So now that we've had almost 45 minutes of this lovely
conversation about working positive. Mothers. Oh, by the way, I did write down solutions just so we weren't talking about problems. So
I did. So I wanted to talk about, I wanted to celebrate our wins like we do with Keisha. So because talk about solutions. Cause I feel like I'm in this place where I'm like, I'm teetering on like,
so if I were, if I were to have my own successful business, let's say I open a publishing agency, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to be in charge of. I'm never going to be fashionable. Just want everybody that works for me to know now. Anyway, I would have on-site childcare, or if that was impossible because of liability or whatever, I would get in with two or three daycare services near work and have like a deal where it's like, my people come to you with their kids. We got a deal.
Got a discount.
Like, daycare, childcare until the age of 18. Thank you very much. Cause some of our children cannot be trusted.
Yeah.
Should be a basic benefit that a company provides. Yeah. And not only money, like there, I know companies provide a stipend for childcare. Great. Thanks so much for your $65, but it would, I would prefer that they set it up so that these women who were like, my job starts Monday and I can't find childcare. Your job should help you with that.
Yeah.
Your fucking job should help you with that. They want you to come to work. Find me someone to watch my kids.
Right.
Or fire me so I can sue you for firing me for being a breeder. Either way, I'm getting paid. So there's that idea.
That's how I felt.
Women equally. That's my next idea.
A little bit.
Make working remote always an option. Have like a 10 to 3 work day for like people. I know, you know, people need to be around their computers from 10 to 3. After that, you work the hours that you need to work to make up for a whole 8 hours. Do you get it?
Hold on, please. Hold on a second.
I see the fridge open. Who's eating?
Renko.
Renko, get lost. We're having a podcast.
And that's what, that's like the fundamentals of like what I wanted to build through my agency, you know, like,
right. It's like, and then have a 4-day or 4-school work week, 4-day, 4-school work week, or year round school and work life balance that means something. So I wrote a lot of stuff down there. Those are my solutions. Yeah. But daycare, having daycare be something your company not only pays for, but finds for you would really be great. Especially if you're relocating and don't have family to rely on or whatever.
Right. Right. No.
And it's always the women that are looking for it. I don't know. I'm not in any men's group, any dads groups, but I have a hard time dads posting me like, oh my God, guys, can you tell me where to find childcare?
No. They don't, because no, they don't ask. They don't worry about it.
If we're wrong, tell us.
So I'm curious though about same-sex relationships, because as a woman and a cisgender straight woman in a heterosexual relationship, I am the default parent. I am the default domestic. When you're in a same-sex relationship, I wonder how that works.
I would think if you were in a same-sex relationship and you were women, in my, this is how my brain is working. The woman who actually carried the child, if that is how they have children would be the default parent.
Right.
Period. If they adopted, yeah. It really depends. I mean, these are the conversations you have when you're dating, right? It's like, oh, if we have kids, would you want me to stay home?
I don't know. Do you have those conversations now? I don't know what dating is like now.
I don't, because I'm not having kids anymore. So, right. But I'm thinking about people who are, younger.
Right. But that's why I'm wondering.
I know people now, it's like most guys are just getting vasectomies, like right out of college. You're like, no one's going to trap me, man. And those are reversible. So they can, just change their mind. But,
right. Of course. Cause it's easy for a man. Like everything has been throughout history.
Forever. Yes. But
I promise we like men.
Men, I don't know. You know, it's hard to say, because if I do say, then I feel like I'm being a little too on the nose. Like anybody that's more feminine is going to be more the mom. And then in that respect, will be the default parent, because the mom, the parent that's looked at as the mother.
Or just the one who's more like
I don't want to say nurturing.
Parental, maternal, like the one who is more.
It's very hard to say the mom, like maternal and stuff, and not feel bad, because you're like, I'm not saying you need to be a woman. I'm saying there's something about.
There's a parental instinct that some people have and some people don't.
And dads are different from moms. They're just different. Like I've always seen myself, and even my stern and very strict mom friends still are this way. I'm the soft place to land. I'm the one they can say nasty stuff to, because I know they needed to say it, and I'm not going to get mad. Like, I'm always going to love them. I'm not saying their dad isn't. He will love them no matter what, but they're not going to pull that shit around him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you've got the parent, not that they're afraid of, but that they're afraid of, and the parent that they can relate to, and hopefully there's balance between those two. So they never feel like they don't have anybody to talk to. That's the end of my parenting TED talk.
Mic drop.
The end.
Yeah. I wish that I could come up with some solutions. I want to build this marketing agency and only hire moms, and because I want to change workplace culture for mothers, and I really do. Like, I want it to be a place where women can feel safe to be a parent and an employee at the same time.
And just do just that. Whatever you wish somebody had done for you as an employer.
Exactly.
Your own employees.
Right.
And there will be times where it's like, okay, Michelle, your kids had diarrhea every day this week, but your nails look nice. You're going to have people that are going to take advantage of that.
Of course.
Period.
But
people take advantage of it in regular corporate America today. It doesn't matter. It's always going to happen. But it shouldn't be something that isn't tried, because it's assumed, people will take advantage of you, or, moms won't be as productive as a single young woman. Whatever.
Or, it's like, the employee who, if an employee works 70 or 80 hours a week, he is seen as dedicated and, he is valuable to this company, and we are his whole world. And that means, he
I don't want my company elevated. To be anyone's whole world.
Mm-mm. Right. It's just like, if we're workhorses and we give our whole lives and every spare moment that we have and all of our extra energy in our personal life to a job, then somehow it's looked upon in a positive way. But if we're not like that, and we may still be really good at what we do, but we also have boundaries, and somehow that's not okay.
For women, let's be honest, it's only looked at in a positive way when you don't have your own family. You've had your own family, if you're still a go-getter hiring your nanny, working 70 hours a week to bust your balls that are bigger than most of the dudes you're working with, you're just seen as a worthless mom that doesn't love her children. Dads, though, they can work 70 hours a week until they're 100. And it's like, look at how he provides for his family.
Right, exactly. All right. Wow. It is exhausting. It is so frustrating. And I don't have the solution except to build an agency and change it from the inside out.
That's all you have to do. That's what I've been, okay, so that's what I've been trying to tell you. You don't have to change everybody's world. You just have to change your own. And in doing that, you'll change the people who work for you. And then hopefully, yeah, like when somebody pays for you in front of you, someone pays for your Starbucks, you'll pay for the person, they'll pay for the people behind them when they start their own social media business or whatever you encourage them to do for themselves.
So, well, like I was interviewing an intern this week, and she was like, you know, she's super sweet and cute, but she was like, you know, well, you know, what are the hours like? And I was explaining to her the hours, and she was like, you know, is it a lot of nights and weekends? And I said, I'm going to tell you what I've done in my own life. I set boundaries. After 7 o'clock, I don't answer work calls. Mm-mm. I do not work on the weekends unless I absolutely have to, but it's very rare. I said, I encourage you to do the same. I said, I'm not gonna applaud you for working 90 hours a week. No, you need to rest and have boundaries and have downtime to let your mind and your body rest. I was like, that's okay. And then she yawned and she's like, I'm so sorry. I was up all night studying. And I was like, you're allowed to yawn. You're a human being. Like, it's okay. But like, she got nervous when she yawned, and she felt like she was like, I'm so sorry. I had to stay up all night studying, and I'm sorry I yawned. And I was like, it's okay. Like, and it felt really good for me to like,
make someone feel
talk to her in that way. Right. Yeah. Because I was never treated that way. Mm-mm. As a young woman trying to learn and enter the workforce. And, you know, it was, yeah. So it felt really good to just even that small acknowledgement of her, like, her humanity just felt really good.
And well, like I said, she'll remember that. And she'll learn something about how to treat others from that experience when she interviews somebody for a job, whether it be a babysitter or, I don't know.
Yeah. Somebody. Well, I think, you know, as much as it scares me and as much as I feel like I, you know, I don't know how to do this, I do. That's something that I want to do, is change the workplace culture for mothers by doing it myself, you know? And then this whole, you know, even through this, all this pandemic shit, I mean, fuck, what employer doesn't get when your kid has to be fucking quarantined for 2 weeks? What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do when your kindergartner can't go to school?
That was the whole problem that I had, especially, and it's still a problem, is employers don't think it's their problem. It's like when the HOA wants me to park my car in the garage, but I can't because it's full with my kids' toys. They don't care that my kids' toys are going to have to go to the dump or to Goodwill so that I can park my car in the garage so that our neighborhood looks like nobody fucking lives here. But they're like, that isn't an excuse for you to not have your car in the garage. That's not a valid excuse. Just like an employer. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. We didn't ask you to breed. That's not our problem. Figure it out.
Right.
And that's why a lot of people were like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm not even going to bother. But this is something I wanted to read to you that I just found recently on the internet, because I love the internet. It says, be brave enough to suck at something new.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
And that's, I feel like that, you know, learning all this stuff for my new job is like, I'm suck at it. But I don't suck at it because I'm learning it. And like you said, working on the weekends, I have all those boundaries set up. But my new mantra is, if it's going to benefit me in my job, then it's me taking care of myself. It's not me working on the weekend. And
well, as long as it's your choice, you know, it's like, I get that. I totally get that. And I told my intern, I was like, some days there will be long hours, some nights, some weekends, but it's totally situational, you know, but I don't expect every single night and weekend from you.
My sister also said this, and it made a lot of sense, and it could be about anything, not just your job or motherhood, but it says, ignoring the red flags because you want to see the good in people will cost you later. It kind of had nothing to do with what we were talking about, but I know I remembered I wanted to read that one.
Yeah,
because absolutely. I can't tell you how many times I've done that and continue to do that because I want people to be better so bad.
I know you do. I know.
But I do. The next... Oh, go ahead.
No, totally fine. I wanted to hear some wins from you before we wrap up here, because with Keisha, we always talk about our wins.
Okay. Some wins. Today was my second full-time day, like official day on the job.
Yes.
And, I managed to go 2 years without having COVID in my house. Super excited about that. Yep. I'm going to my sister's for Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm super excited about that. What else?
Yeah, because the halftime show is going to be off the chain.
Off the chain. Off the chain.
Off the chain, Hizzy. Because that's what we used to sing. That's how we used to speak. I'm so pumped. I don't normally care about no foosball or no sports teams. I don't really know. I just want everybody to have a good time. I don't care who wins, but I'm super pumped about this halftime show.
I'm pumped about the halftime show and the nachos my brother-in-law has already said he's making. So I'm excited about food already. But
noise.
What else? That's about it. Everything's
you don't have COVID. That's a win.
I don't have COVID. You're correct. So that is a win. Still COVID free. Knock on wood.
Yeah, man.
I can't remember if Harrison had, I don't think, no, Harrison got a job at Publix.
Yes.
Yep. So I'm excited about
I'm just
that.
Shocked. I'm shocked that he went from one grocery store to the other.
What do you,
you know?
He saw injustices at Harris Teeter and just couldn't work there anymore.
He always tells us that the wins don't have to be these big, massive events in our lives. That wins are the progress that we make, mm-hmm. right? Every single day.
Waking up is a win.
Yeah. You know, like she's always saying, like she always says this about herself. She's like, I hate taking out the trash. I hate taking it to the curb. I don't like doing it. So when I do it consistently, that's a win for me, you right. know? So I'm trying to really focus on that. And like, you know, the small things, like, you know, the past couple nights, Ava slept until 4:15, which is a big deal when your child doesn't sleep through the night.
That is okay. a really big deal. Yeah,
it is. And this past night, she woke up around 4:15, but then she fell back asleep and then woke up again at 5:45. So she was able to put herself back to sleep. So that was a big win.
That
for,
is a big
for
win.
Us.
Yeah.
Yes. And I interviewed my first intern and I'm super excited. She's so sweet and she's an adult student and she's so eager to learn. And she's, I just remember being 25 and like, the whole world's in front of you and you just want to absorb as much as you can and learn everything. And, you know, and that's the stage she's in. And it's
that's
such
so
a,
exciting.
Her energy is just really contagious. It was, awesome. It was awesome. And I'm excited to bring her on. And then, yeah, we had a full week at school. Nobody had to stay home because of COVID. Nobody nice. Had to stay home because of weather. It was nice for us to finally get 1 week of consistent routine.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing how even just a couple days in a row of routine will just make your whole life.
Yeah.
Right.
And
now.
Then today, today is Wednesday. So we have a nanny that comes part-time. Shout out to Molly who listens to our podcast.
Nice. Hey girl.
Is so phenomenal. She's just this amazing mom of two girls. She's super progressive and wonderful and so stinking great with Ava. And I was so lucky to connect with her in 2020. And so now she stays with Ava and I was able today to take a 4-hour nap.
I'm so excited for you.
I turned off my phone. I was like, you know what? My body's exhausted. My mind's exhausted. I've been through a lot. I've just been processing a lot of things. I am just going to nap and be okay with it. And I didn't even care when I woke up and I had 58 text messages.
That is dumb.
I'm not even lying to you. But I wasn't like, oh my God, I need to check these right away. Oh my God. Like I was like, it's okay.
It
I'll
is
get
okay.
to them when I get to them. It's fine. I did not feel this like toxic urgency to like immediately get back to people.
Right. Like, so you had like this nice sleep, you're feeling rested. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, all right, all over again.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I saw the text messages and I was like, oh, whatever. I'll get to them. They're fine. Nope. You know, like he just says nothing has gone wrong.
Nothing.
You know? So yeah, some really good wins. Jack and I had a really good day too together. My almost 13-year-old, I let him play hooky on Monday. and we went to the salon. One of my clients, they were having a master barber come in. You know, you got your boy's haircut.
Yeah, they yes. looked amazing.
Yeah. And so Jack got his hair done on Monday by this master barber, and which he loved, and they did a phenomenal job. And then we had lunch together, and it was just so nice to like just spend time with him, just the two of us, because we just don't do that as often, you know. And we just had like real conversations, and he opened up to me about some things. It was cool. It was really, really cool. So, you know, yeah. some wins. And we didn't oversleep at all this week, so that's a big win. Everybody got up on time. Everybody went to school. Everybody had food for their lunches. You know, we got all our bills paid, you know.
That you've had a great week so far. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. So I think if I can, you know, have a few more coaching sessions with Keisha and work through some of this stuff that I'm trying to process, it feels, yeah.
I'm telling you, it's hilarious. Every time she's like, okay, your homework is to just get these financial information to me. And then she like signs on, she's like, so how's it going? And I'm like, oh my God, let's talk about stuff. It's not Monday.
Exactly. Oh my God, my life. That's why I told her, I was like, we need to start promoting you as a financial / business / life coach.
Life coach. That's definitely what I would call her. A life coach.
Because I really thought that all that was bullshit before I actually started doing it. And now I'm just like, oh my God, don't get a therapist, get a fucking life coach. Like ridiculous. Phenomenal.
They can really help. You gotta make sure you find one that's into it, like Keisha.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. All right, guys. Well, we've been chatting away here for about an hour. And
sorry it was so heavy, but you know, equal rights for women.
And everyone's invited next full moon to my house, and we're going to get in the backyard, and you know, we won't dance naked around a fire. Wow. Yeah, but we're going to be screaming.
We should.
And I think it's going to feel really good. No, I like, you know, I was like, let's dance naked around a fire.
Everybody wear flower crowns.
Yeah.
And I think we'll just have our own little Lilith there in the backyard.
BYOB. And we are going to be screaming our fucking asses off in the backyard and scaring the neighbors. So
Let's get the cops called on us. It'll be great.
Oh my God. Somebody's getting murdered.
Again. Okay. Oh, on that note,
we love you guys. Yes.
We love you. And we will talk to you next week.
Yes. That sounds good. You guys, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
All right. Bye.